views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I can see watching Quiet Place. That is one of those post-apocalypse that I know that I'd go out right away. We talked about, you know, just my snoring alone.
Story or party. Yeah.
And like zombie apocalypse, the fast zombies, fuck it. I'm not even wasting any time. I'm going to just jump off a building and call it a day. Like, not even going to try. Slow zombies, maybe I'll give it a shot. There's some apocalypses where you just know to just grab your ankles and wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the whole snoring thing would smash with. Be pretty fucked too.
Yeah, be pretty fucked.
You'd be pretty fucked.
Yeah.
In a world like that, probably. Yeah. I probably wouldn't last very long.
What I wasn't prepared for though is the one post-apocalypse that I'm like, no, I could totally hang it in this. Is the furry apocalypse?
Oh, yeah.
There's the animal people walking around. There's
you have a better chance. Yeah.
There's a fennec fox being like, Do you want a yiff?
But the question is, would you survive or would you get taken out by the last man because you were helping the hybrids? Are you strong enough to defend the hybrids against the last men?
As long as you don't fucking die of something else.
They would probably think he's already like a hybrid, like half bear.
Half bear,
like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's already getting taken down. Sorry, sorry, man.
He's a big big son of a bitch.
Or I'm just a hairy, bearded man, so they're like, you look like a last man. I'm like, yeah.
They just can't take any chances. Any hairy big guys are just silly. You might be a hybrid, you might just be
a all the last men we saw were hairy.
Yeah, that is true.
Look, in a world like that...
They just broke into like a gay bar and got all the bears around. Yeah. It's like, you work for us now. And they're like, all right, well...
In a world like that, it would pay to have that branding just in case. And if you have the garb with you, it pays it to blend in. But you don't ever actually have to be that person.
You'd have to change all the like slang terms in gay culture. It's like, he said he's a cog, get him!
Well, the general would decide what to do with you.
Was the other one an otter? I think an otter is a thing too. I don't know. Yeah, so you'd have to just totally change around all the names.
Dude, he is Dr. Robotnik without the Robotnik. Like he's
seriously, I fucking hate the general.
The glasses and the beard. Oh,
he seriously reminds me of Iron Man 3. Of
Ben Kingsley
in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Totally has that vibe.
Let's just say
him.
In the comic he has a slight beard, not the giant big ass beard that he has in there. Like it definitely they emphasize a little bit to make him a little crazier looking. So
I'm just waiting for him to be like, the fortune cookie is American made.
Why is it that
can you stand to
he pulls a fortune from
least
his beard.
To me the most least intimidating people specifically in this man, are the ones that are running everything.
It's all about the brave.
So weak minds,
huh?
Fall to aggressive minds. Is that what we're going with?
Well, they just like in Invader Zim, the tallest people are in charge of the Urken Empire. In Sweet Tooth, the longest beards end up running
everything.
So ZZ Top is really actually his boss.
I mean, look at the last man.
Under 5'6".
Our rednecks,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So he's just smarter than the rednecks. That's not a hard thing. And he's got a quote-unquote plan.
Yeah.
His plan is to force somebody to come up with a cure.
Yeah.
But that other rednecks hadn't thought about.
But the people that he's trying to force to create the cure are way less aggressive, but they're way smarter than him. So that's going to backfire.
But they're less aggressive. That's the whole point.
Well, all he had to do is like, we're going to kill children, and they're like, for America, yeah. Like that's just throw that at the end.
I mean, but look, the smart people are wrapping people in you know Saran wrap and burning their houses down. So not a lot of everybody's going rational thinking.
They weren't smart people.
Yeah,
I think that's a pretty fair.
There was a lot of Karens.
Oh,
there was a lot of Karens.
Yeah, that neighborhood was kind of scary.
Well, look, that's a fair depiction. And if you look at any movie like that or disaster movie, I'm not going to say there's anything like it. It's fucking weird, but it's a great show. But in general, if you look at it, you know, like even movies like I saw Greenland recently, you know, it's a similar, you know, end of the world. Everybody's kind of panicked and things are burning down. You know, it's pretty common. But what they do with it was, I will say, was a lot different than I expected. They built this sort of totalitarian, you know, society on it and within it, but there's no one actually running it. It's really weird.
I want to see a crossover where it's just a bunch of people hunting Gerard Butler. That's the post-apocalyptic movie I
want
to see.
I don't think you want that if he's got a sword in his hand.
No, actually Gerard Butler, not a character played by... Not this is a dead. You were shot in the face.
He's Irish. Get him drunk. He'll be fine.
We're going to get into this episode all about the Netflix series Sweet Tooth. One of our panelists is very familiar with the comic as well, so we're going to be talking about the characterizations and the plot between the comic book and the series now available on Netflix, as well as, you know, our feelings about the series, what we expect to happen in season two, because I think it's been hit for season two, or it's just kind of expected to, because it's done pretty well.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Netflix
yeah,
has really a tendency of looking at the second and third week numbers to determine if they're going to renew it. So
I think it was number one in its second week. So
yeah, hopefully.
I think
fingers
it's
going to
be all right. So we're talking about Steve Tooth on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Welcome.
Zombies at work, and shall be again. A changing of the guards, the guides marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong, so you better join us now. You better do it fast, or you will be dead. Fly, don't know the gun, because it's compromised, but dead. You play to take, I'm playing
to get this. Woo!
Yeah.
Or ow, woo! Or whatever. Animal people.
People.
Oh, woo. Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine you're like a werewolf and you're like,
what the fuck?
You've been a werewolf the whole time, and then it's Sweet Tooth Apocalypse, and you're just like, I don't even feel special anymore.
Yeah, you're just a guy.
I would be like, fuck it, I'm wolfing out all the time. Like,
all the
I gotta
time.
Look on the positive. Everyone's always about the negative. Jesus. So, like, that actually, the reason Netflix might have not thought about it being a problem releasing it is because something Smash brought up before we were recording is how hopeful it was. It doesn't focus on the virus, is just the catalyst to the main story of this, to find out this, the original, like, hybrid, you know, creation, and how he was raised away from society and has nothing but hope. So, like,
well, yeah, I agree. What you're saying is that the it's a catalyst, just like in a zombie film or in like The Walking Dead, that the zombies at some point end up becoming kind of set dressing.
Yep.
That it's not even about the zombies anymore. It's about the people and how, trying situations cause some people to panic, some people to, you know, buck up and step up to the plate. And that's what's happening, is that there's some people that are like, virus, get the Saran wrap. And there are other people that are like, you know, let's get the candy bars and pain pills. Let's fucking do this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, but you literally have some of that hysteria that we have seen this past year, where literally they have the house party, dude's pinky finger starts twitching, literally everybody mask up and like grab Saran wrap, like that instinctual freak
cultish.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of cultish. It was really weird.
But that's a nice way of putting it. I mean, they burned the house down. They didn't just like, you
they
know,
stand outside of it.
They
didn't watch it burn.
You know, yeah,
they
burned
walk
them
away.
But they didn't just like, you know, take them out back and do it and burn them. You know, like they were just like, fuck you and your house. Like, we don't want nothing to do with you anymore. You are no longer human. You are now the infection.
And then the next morning, dude's riding to the office and they see the weed dude killing all the flowers.
Yeah.
Like, we burnt your house down. We got to kill your weeds too.
Which is, you know, the flowers. You were talking about the hope before, in terms of like the story is it's kind of like this naive, childlike, but very, you know, very intelligent kid, and just not letting anything get him down. Like, I'm not going to quit.
The flowers, I think, are similar, are actually the rebirth that they're killing.
Well, you know, what we haven't seen, and maybe it'll be in the second season, is that those flowers show up wherever somebody gets sick. But also within the whatever the virus going around, and how, you know, it's shifted nature, you know, or nature shifted it to its will, it seems. When they went with that whole thing, like, I was kind of taken. I don't want to mention it, but I got to get it off my chest. I'm sorry. The lab creation thing. And the balance between, you know, nature, where it's like, nature doesn't want us anymore. We didn't give it a reason. And then they talk about how we really created this out of our own hubris.
Yeah. Hubris, yeah.
I love the fact that those flowers do show up, but they're never actually any actual cause. It's just people are like, when people get sick, there's a flower around them. So those flowers must represent. They say throughout the show, those flowers, that's just coincidental, but they still are so paranoid about it. So.
Yeah.
Well, and being that it's showing up around them, because the way they did introduce the flowers was that it showed up around the dead people.
Yeah.
So apparently those flowers weren't around prior to this, is what you're led to believe. So my theory, my question is, when Dude Man gets handed the notes and he sees the horrible shit he has to do to create the temporary vaccine that they have right now for it, I didn't see in the notes when he's looking through it, because all you get is flashes through the book where they tested anything from using the flower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make sense? Well, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Think about it.
I think it's just better to murder animal kids.
Just murder animal kids.
Yeah. Wouldn't it make sense to, like, maybe try something? But in the notes, unless I missed it, did you see anything where it said they used the flower?
Well, no. Apparently, you're not an animal kid doctor, so...
Yeah, fuck me for wanting kids, little adorable kids to live. Shit.
Speaking of people that aren't animal kid doctors, we've got a panel of four here. First up, of course, is one of the Geek Fathers is here to help us along this voyage through the post-apocalyptic world of Sweet Tooth. We've got Kyle Smash here.
Hello.
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 First time back in the studio, I think, for a GUI since we've been doing the live in person.
I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I did my little rant before we really get started here.
Oh, we always do rants beforehand.
But, you know, it's really good to be back, you know, just in this old school format.
Absolutely.
Two kisses.
Oh, well, now I can see your pretty faces.
Mm. Speaking of pretty faces, besides that, we've got Fuck You Hunter here.
What's up, bitches?
Bringing the actual Sweet Tooth knowledge from the comics as well.
Yeah, it's one of those crazy things. The last like 3 or 4 years, all these comics that I've been like, you should check this out, and now I just go, you should go and watch it on Amazon and Netflix because they're all getting turned into shows.
Yep.
I mean, holy, it's kind of crazy because GalaxyCon, you know, way back in the day, a year and a half ago, the creator of Sweet Tooth was there, and he actually, you know, I got his autograph, and he was like, they're actually making the show, and I was like, waiting. For it to actually finally come out. And what's crazy is Hulu originally had it. Netflix bought it off of them. So
they had, nice. They had like some serious belief in this property.
I like how Netflix
buy
just,
it off of
it's
another
like,
streaming
cool, yep. Thanks you for paying for it, you know, like they did with Cobra Kai.
We'll
just put it on there and, you know, make a shitload of money off of it.
Yeah. Shit. Fair. And then next up, of course, is my co-hostess with the mostest, helps me with the network and brings the true nerd rage to the show. We've got Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's up, everybody?
You gotta have that one angry nerd.
That's right.
You
gotta, yeah.
Nerds!
Well, so you gotta have the one angry nerd to, like, smack all the nerd haters in the fucking dick.
Is that what it is?
Or the cunt.
Okay.
Whichever they have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lowdown the dick smasher.
That's me.
Yep.
Fuck you.
It's gonna be seriously on the back of his trading card.
Yeah. They didn't have the character in Winter Soldier, did they?
Dick Smasher.
They had Flag Smashers, but no Dick Smashers, right?
No, they have the character that becomes Dick Smasher,
but he wasn't
in the Dick Smasher costume.
I think that was a character.
I'd like to go toe-to-toe. I bet I'd smash his dick.
Oh.
I think we have a superhero name for Lowdown.
That was either a character in Boogie Nights or Orgasmo, I think. That's where that name sounds familiar.
Orgasmo sounds about right, yeah.
Please, one of our listeners, just do a mock-up of Lowdown as costumed as Dick Smasher. That would be fucking awesome.
Somebody with... Yeah, well... If you don't, Hobbit will, so please, somebody...
Somebody with actual artistic skills, please. Yeah.
Yeah, and the man who has zero artistic skill. No, I'm just kidding. He's created a lot of the designs that need to be and don't need to be on our T Public page.
Yeah.
The man to my left, who... Yeah.
Yep, that's about right.
Yeah. Aww. It's like he almost got speechless for a second.
Oh, that's what it was.
But that's not why.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like when you have to stop talking when your gut rumbles, like you're about to shit yourself.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
That's how you feel about him?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. The man who started this whole network of insanity, to my left, we got Mike Tyler Bickett.
Yeah. I give Lowdown butterflies in his stomach, except they're covered in shit, apparently.
Yeah. Shit flies. Yeah.
Shit flies.
Shit flies.
In his stomach.
Yes.
I'm Mike the Hobbit. Check out this show and all the other shows on the network at GUIpodcast.com. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. And follow our social media. All that stuff's on the website as well. And on to Sweet Tooth. Or continuing.
With Sweet Tooth. Yes. We've kind of like blew our load a little bit. Pre-count
with
a little bit.
The flowers, though, the thing that I find funny about the flowers is there's all this, you know, fear about the flowers, and then when Gus falls off the bridge and he's in the middle of this massive field and there's dust coming off these flowers like crazy, Big Man protects himself with just like partially covering himself in a fucking parachute. He's like, good enough, and it's fine. It's totally fine.
He's pretty wrapped up in it.
In a parachute with mass.
It's a parachute. That's a lot of fabric.
Yeah,
right?
But his face is exposed so he can see. So he's not doing a lot, really.
I mean, I thought they both put like a cloth over their mouth and nose so they wouldn't breathe in the shit.
He's still getting all the pollen stuff in his eyes.
Yeah, it's still all over you. Like, yeah, I will give you that. They didn't really, like, when they take it off, they're still covered in all that shit, if that's what would give you the sick.
And apparently the flowers also make animal kids hallucinate their dead fathers.
Oh, yeah, some good shit, man.
Yeah, some good stuff.
I got it from, like, Wakanda.
Oh, you mean,
Wakanda, yeah.
So who knew MacGruber could burr the fucking hybrid? Old MacGruber.
I was about to throw that out there. I mean, that was the first shocker season in the first episode. You get MacGruber as the dad.
Yep.
And which in the comic, he's the you get like maybe three pages of the dad before he fucking croaks, and he's kind of a nut job religious kind of guy. This one, they
thank
didn't
God.
Go that
I
route.
Think the hippie over the religious.
Oh, definitely.
Day.
Yeah, yeah. I will say Will Forte knocked it out of the park.
MacGruber.
MacGruber.
You do not have a name, MacGruber.
I thought it was a weird callback for him to stick the carrot in his ass at that one point. But
and from the TV spot, what's the Fox show though, where he's all the world is
pretty last man, on
last
Earth.
Man's yeah, last man on Earth,
yeah, or
just last
like that,
man.
Yeah.
Anyways, which is a I saw a few episodes, pretty good. But this is probably the best thing I've seen him in that's not comedy related.
It's really good.
He did a good job of balancing that. Like, I really do care about you. With, you know, I need to kind of prepare you and understand that this is not going to end well for me.
And I love, I think it was, I guess, second last or last episode where they kind of dive into that and you see like how he just got kind of thrown into the situation. He's like, all right, I'll raise this weird animal kid away from everybody else. Like, it wasn't like he had years and years of training. Literally, they're like, here's this baby, go hide out in the woods and take and raise him. Like, so, kind of random.
Exactly. And yep. I love how they really showed that Sweet Tooth is, and this is why I hope it gets brought, it gets continued for season two, coming to terms with his dad, not as he knew him, because now he's realizing his dad lied to him. And that is the fact. Like, it doesn't matter if it was for his good or not, his dad lied to him.
Yeah.
But and he has to come to terms with that.
And that's something that I definitely appreciate about the show. And I've seen that kind of happening with a lot of shows that we've been watching recently with, you know, the idea of the paragon, the you know, whether it be a parent or the person that you look up to not being what you thought that they were.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's that, you know, he was doing it for the kid's own good and he was actually a decent dude. And he's not like this. It's not this nightmarish thing where like, oh, no, you're actually evil. But you look at the brass tacks of who this character is. And he's the guy that is so desperate for a date that he raises a like an animal kid for 9 years
to come back.
In case she comes back. They're on a first date when this happens, and he gets a kid out of it.
I mean, he must have been really sick of those fucking dating apps. He's like, none of this shit works.
I mean, he's not the first guy to end up with a kid out of being out of one date, but like definitely the quickest to a kid after one date.
It's just crazy that he survived on his own because like he wasn't this like. He was a janitor, man.
Yeah. He was a handyman. He said he liked doing shit with his
I understand,
hands.
But still, like, he survived building all this shit. It wasn't like he had all the necessary training. He was a fucking janitor. I mean, you know.
But, I mean, like I said, he rolled out his tools to fix, like, he had the, I feel like he did have the necessary skills when put to call. Like, when there's no choice, he had the ability.
He could figure it out.
He could figure it out. And I got to say, side note, there's not a lot of Grateful Dead songs I like, but the one they use Truckin', that's like one of like the four I like. So I was like, I came to the plane, I was a little, like a giddy little kid, like, oh, Truckin'. And then it was cheesy when she quoted it at the bar. I was like, oh, okay, course.
You haven't been on a date in a long time, bro.
The song you played is the lyric she quotes that makes him interested. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, you know, he did say that he was gifted. At fixing, basically, he was always been gifted at
fixing things. Yeah,
but as far as the kind of jumping into parenthood, that's just being a parent.
there's no preparation for that shit.
Albeit in very extreme situations, but considering the last year and considering the last year and a half, that's true for a lot of people now, a lot more than maybe before. And it was just the way he saw it and the way he had to handle it and lie, because sometimes you have to spin the way the kind of the world is so that, you know, they stay a child for a little while longer and keep that wonder.
Mm-hmm.
But his ability to like build up this area, this reserve away from everything
is amazing.
Keep Gus safe for years and years to grow up. Like, and that's kind of the theme of both the comic and the show, where because of that, Gus has this different viewpoint of the world where everybody else is like, this shit sucks. And it's just one kid who never saw all the fucked up parts of humanity. So when he goes out into the world, he has this kind of optimistic view that's kind of contagious to the other characters.
He's the unbreakable Gussie Schmidt.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Gussie Schmidt.
So I do love how you do see him struggle in the first episode doing this. So we realize he's not like this A-list, like, alpha fucking... I got all this shit. Yep. He struggles building all this stuff.
Yeah.
It was all trial by error. Like, everything he built, you saw him fail. And I agree with, you do try to keep them children innocent for longer. The only difference is, in this scenario, in an apocalyptic world, because at the time, it was still the apocalypse, like, and it still is, right? It's not post. It's like, shit's still fucked up. It's a terrible place to be. The virus is still around. Not having the chance to slowly correct your lies as he gets older and help him get out of those lies and grow up. When he got the sick from defending Gus, he then lost the ability to help Gus get out of those childish, and you know, what he had to tell him and lie to him about to keep him a child because Gus was still young, you know?
I will say, I'm mad that they didn't make a herd immunity joke in a show about animal people. Like, I felt like that was obvious, and they didn't do it. It made me really sad.
Aww.
There was no widespread distribution of information to talk about a vaccine being worked on.
Internet's down. Phones are down.
Yeah, I remember that. I love how, once the internet went, everything went to shit.
When they said that, I'm like, that would happen. Like, just
yes, 100%. That is totally true.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
I will say the father early on keeps teaching him to kind of like also tap into the other side of him, where the nature has found that balance between human and animal. And once he does, he keeps telling him, he's like, you know, basically growl or, give me a loud thing, and which is a very alpha thing to do, right?
Roar.
Yeah. Roar. Oh God.
Roar.
He does. He taps into his sense of smell, his sense of hearing, and he finds out how to utilize that into also being a human.
He's got a crew now.
But he knows got a crew. Not to trust anybody. The first, I guess, human other person he runs into, the guy at the fence, and instantly, and if you just listen to the guy, he's like, I was looking for my sister, you know, everything's cool. And instantly the dad's like, nope. This guy and up to no fucking good. And yeah,
I love also you get the full like unhinged crazy dude like reveal of his character when dude shows up at the fence. He's like, get on out of here,
with a broom. He's like, no,
I'm gonna shoot you, get away from my fence. I don't know who your sister is. Wow,
they marked this. No, but I think that what we're gonna see in season two is that, and they didn't really make a big, it was subtle little nuances they showed when they focused on Gus and a lot of these scenarios he'd been put in after his father, after Papa, because it's not Papa, it's Papa died, was that you'll see him when someone new shows up or something, he'll like his ears will perk nose, he'll smell. So I think what we're going to see in season two is that now he's actually learned what Papa was saying about don't trust anybody. I think, now that he's got the extra sensory that Papa didn't have, he will know who to trust and not trust because he can smell the bad. He'll be able to. Animals know who is bad. Have you ever watched an animal, cat, dog, basic, generic, the most common domesticated animals? They don't associate themselves with bad people.
Like, you smell like you listen to Five Finger Death Punch. Get away.
Gus's blood is probably his blood is probably going to be that other side of the coin to the virus, which will probably help create. It's probably why he's so important, considering his roots compared to other children like him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where they're going to go with that. But I'm interested to see him get a little bit, maybe hopefully a little bit older. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if they do a time jump in the comic.
You gotta read, man.
Motherfucker.
Or just watch this. Wait for the seasons of the show to come out. Anyway, I think that it would make sense that eventually the cure is the original, you know, because look at in the vein of the society, they're associating the virus with the hybrids because they showed up at the same time. That's the other thing we haven't brought up is like society, the reason they are killing and that they hate or and fear the hybrids is because they showed up literally the exact same time the virus was going on.
Yes. And they get, of course, you find out through the show that they get the sample of the virus through ice core. Mm. Or ice samples, like, you know, deep in, I think, Alaska was where they, said that it was basically his mom. And that depending on how you essentially mix that or process that with DNA, do it one way could be great, you know, for the world. Do it another, it could be disaster.
Mm. That's what she says, yeah.
I mean, yeah, and it was pretty amazing that they literally show you this is what could be. This is great. This is the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of coming together, it is, let's just destroy what we don't get. And it's such a depiction of the way humans deal
sure.
with shit.
It's one or the other. It's polarized.
It's one of the best.
Humans
yeah.
are polarized. It's one or the other, man.
It's crazy.
I love how they show Singh bringing his wife to, I mean, in the middle of a pandemic, people are freaking the fuck out. He gets his wife in the hospital, and then randomly he gets pulled, and that's when we get introduced to the hybrids. Like, you're already going through, you know, lines of people rushing the hospital, already pandemic crazy, and then... Oh, also, yeah, all the babies are, like, half animal. Like, on top of the insanity that is the, you know,
pandemic. Oh, yeah,
pandemic.
When you look at the whole yes. room full of fucking hybrids.
I'm just saying, you're already dealing with this shit. It's like, oh, also, you want to see this, like, crazy shit that just happened?
What's the groundhog kid's name?
Bobby.
Bobby, yeah. I just want some backstory of, like, so the parents, Bobby's parents being just like, even if it's an animal kid, we're going to love him, and it's going to be great. And, like, who cares if he has, like, a hoof or something? He's still our kid. And then it's just straight up a groundhog that smiles, and they're yeah. like, fuck, no. I can't. That's too much.
They could utilize that for so much. They're like, nah, fuck it.
Yeah, you know, the world could come together. They could start doing reboots, like, stories again, and he could be in Groundhog's Day.
Oh, and, no. Oh. Puxatani.
Puxatani.
I love how Jeppard, like, his whole thing is please be normal, please be normal. And as soon as that happens, and he's just the devastation.
The breakdown scene of his was fucking crucial, oh, yeah. dude. That was hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, and I like how what talks him into it was the doctor and how the paths cross. Like,
yeah.
you know, that whole like Magnolia or Crash scenario where like stories cross and he gets in the elevator and then the doctor gets in. The doctor was now having to potentially kill hybrids to make the vaccine for fucking douche nozzle, aka the general. And that speech that the doctor gave him made him go back upstairs.
Yep.
And then his fucking kid was gone. I don't know.
I wonder if there were parents that were like, I'm cool with an animal kid, but unless it's like a snake boy.
I mean, I'm a snake.
I hate to be a dick about that, but that would be mammals.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be kind of rough if my kid was half snake.
It would have to be mammals, though.
Like if you had a half spider kid.
Snakey. Wasn't there a like half fly kid at
no,
the end?
No.
Was that a
they
fly
all,
thing? What was that?
All, every one of them, they actually go into that. They're all mammals.
I know that they're all mammals. The way they kind of depicted whatever the hybrid's supposed to be, like right there at the end on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure what that was. It almost looked like a fly.
So far in the show, yeah, they depicted. I can tell you in the comic, they do have
a different. And Smash is right.
Like
no, the very last one they picked was like a lizard.
Yeah,
yeah, that's weird. How the fuck do you, how the hell does a fucking cold blooded amphibian mix with a mammal.
It's just a blend, so some parts.
Dude, yeah. How does one virus make all different mammal yeah. like? Yeah.
Well, the
like
virus
mixture kids like there's deer yeah. kids.
The
there's...
virus allows both of those, you know, that DNA to interact with reproduce. Otherwise, like that's why in nature you don't see things cross over.
And
you don't see a human and a snake, you know, get together. It's not going to work.
Well, and the interesting thing is that with the hybrids, one side can be dominant than the other. You know. Like with, you could have some where the animalistic side is so dominant they can't talk. That's why it's so surprising when Gus starts talking.
Gus starts talking
because
yeah.
a lot of the hybrids that the whatever animal there are is the dominant part, so they can't do that. They yeah. can't communicate.
Yeah, because everybody's like, oh, you can talk. I don't know. But I feel like Gus is also the perfect balance because we see his strength on his human side, but we also see multiple occasions where his breed, so deer, his I don't know what the word for that is, but his species comes to his rescue. Like when they meet the yeah. first family and they're at the ski loft thing and like this giant fucking
yeah.
buck shows up.
That was
dude.
Awesome.
It's that like, was so
pretty
great.
That,
yeah.
that was rad as shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean like you see he's got that balance, right? Like he's got humans that are coming to his aid, he can communicate that way, and he's actually able to, because we haven't seen other hybrids communicate with their particular species, their hybrid, they're mixed with.
So
right?
would that be Gus's Uncle Buck?
God damn it. Oh,
no.
man.
You know what? I'm going to bring a drill.
It's close to Father's Day.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about Uncle Buck. I'm going to put a drill next to your head.
Okay.
Next time I see you. For that joke.
that was actually good.
It was. Fuck me. Can I drop a bowling ball on his head?
yeah.
Please.
Yeah. yeah.
I will say he'll get, I wonder if that's, you know, that's their general foreshadowing. I don't know what it's like in the comics, but if he's supposed to get older and more in charge, be a leader, you know, that would make sense because mm-hmm. you think about it. If you just had some of the abilities he has, you grow up, you become, you know, stronger, taller, and more knowledgeable. You're pretty dangerous in terms of if you want to be my enemy. You know, if I'm leading, he could be.
It's very pretty much at the end, but I mean, you could just tell he's the oldest of the hybrids, and as soon as the hybrids see him, they all kind of go to him. Like he already is like, well, you're leader. Just because you can talk and you're the oldest.
It's Bobby rolling a ball, but then, like, all the hybrids are like, they sense, because, again, that whole hybrid instinct from their individual species, because that's, like, common across the board with animals. They have that sense, mm-hmm. right? Well, and they can just know that he is, like, an alpha. This dude is, like, you know. And they all, because they all hugged him.
Well, this is evolution. Like, this is evolution kind of at its best in terms of... of how to find a balance. And a little piggy, little piggy, big man's daughter, mm-hmm. that you come to find out later.
No, it's not big man's daughter. Bear's sister. Yeah,
Bear's sister. But when you come to find that later in the story, it's still like she can. She's like Gus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she also can communicate and, you know, talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Bear and the animal friends, the animal kids.
I was going to say Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. But like,
they hold up a skull. Whoever's got the whatever talks, Lord of the Flies.
Peter legit, Pan and
their hideout
Lost Boys.
Is like a Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
And they're,
they have like, the best idea. Yeah, like, honestly.
Yeah. They're in a fucking amusement park. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and they're like, let's play some Dance Dance Revolution.
Bumper cars.
I'm sitting there just like, fuck the world, die! Like you're good. Just fucking...
put some paint on my face and make an animal sound, and I'm part of the crew and get to play unlimited.
Yeah,
games.
Like okay, you're gonna be three-toed sloth. You're gonna fuck it. I don't even care. Cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, bumper cars.
Look, power grid totally intact. Apparently,
Yeah.
I mean, well, they have a lot. I mean, it's amusing part. They've got generators and whatever power grid thing they've got. I don't know how that
gas
works.
Refining. I don't know.
Cool. I don't know how they still have power.
You didn't miss the giant sign saying first solar powered amusement park.
It's giant.
It's a big solar field.
And all the adults just stay away. They're like, we're not even interested in having fun.
Yeah, fuck that.
I must have sneezed.
But it was that whole episode. It was one full episode, right?
It bothered me a little bit that they last starfightered it, where they knew how to be like fucking assassins by playing a VR fighting game, is what they kind of alluded to.
But like their whole how they organize themselves, it is Lord of the Flies. At least that's from it. What was it they had to hold up in Lord of the Flies to speak?
God damn.
Stick or something?
Was it the speaking stick or whatever? Yeah. But she just held up her skull.
Yeah.
And then like when her, you know,
Peter Pan best friend, raised the sword,
like,
whatever.
Held up hers, and then all of a sudden that girl had the power because she still wanted to kill all
Snake
the adults.
Girl or whatever.
But yeah, you're right. It's like Lord of Flies mixed like with Peter Pan because it was like no adults allowed.
They're going to fucking kill. All right. Yeah. This was a little darker.
Which is kind of funny because
they're going to kill.
Lord of Flies
they have killed. They have the animal army in the comic, but in the comic, it's just crazed like Mad Max motherfuckers that make animal costumes and just murder everybody. Mm. Like there's no good deeds to save the hybrids. It's literally them just going fresh meat. Like they give two shits. So it was interesting when I saw the animal army and it's like, we're here to save hybrids and we're kid crusaders. I'm like, that's really different from the comic. Yeah. Yeah.
But so probably not anymore.
What's that?
The tribe or whatever it's called, you know, they're so in love with the hybrids, you know, but at the same time they're not. So they want to be, so that's how they kind of live with, like you said,
they'll give two shits if you're hybrid or human. They're fucking killing you.
They're run by somebody else now.
Yeah, so I think it will be degrading into
Bear got stabbed in the back. Man.
Bear had
the whole build up though is because like they're all unified, like they're like Greenpeace, like we all want to save the hybrids. So I'm curious, like how far they go off of that, because even though Bear left, I mean, the whole basis of the animal army is to, you know, fuck adults and save the hybrids.
Yeah, but Bear showed that they're. Like there was one adult that showed up because they never saw a hybrid protect their poacher as she called Big Man, but no one else wanted to hear that. No, fuck it. There's, you know, I don't give a shit if there's anything different to the equation.
I feel like in season
we're not gonna accept that.
It was extenuating circumstances.
I feel like season two you'll see them again in a more twisted like variant.
Oh,
of
for sure.
That,
be more fucked up.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna be just like
to the rest of the animal army. It's like somebody trying to explain that their older brother that's like a Trumper isn't like a racist, and she's like and nobody wants to hear it. And it's like, no, look, I don't agree with a lot of his policies or his ideas and stuff, but he's like actually a pretty good guy. No, fuck him.
Well, I mean, you're literally not this that Jeopard's an adult. but he has the mark of a last man.
Yeah.
So it's not just an adult. We fucking hate adults.
That's his red
hat. The guy that literally kills hybrids.
Yeah. No, the mark is
it's pretty much like, oh, God damn it. Yeah.
Which is a pretty fucked up. I mean, you really have to hate to be that sort of person to be like, yeah, well, we're going to blame these kids being born on the virus. So we're just going to murder all these kids. Not even trying to figure it out. We're just going to kill them all.
I honestly think that Big Man did some horrible shit, but he did. He signed up to the group that would be closest to to be able to go to every. He would be able to get see the most hybrids possible to find his.
I seriously
think that's why he did that.
I mean, you can tell he's good natured at heart, so he doesn't match up with the last man.
Exactly.
So
it's got to be
without
to find his own
going
kid,
too far into what might happen.
Yeah.
There's motivation for him to be the last man without being the mentality of the last man.
Exactly.
Can we give a little bit of love to his football teammate that was on the train?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was like the biggest, sweetest fucking man in the entire world that was like clearly concussed one too many times.
He made brain injuries kind of funny. You
like,
know?
I was like, you're adorable.
Yeah.
Like,
everybody watches this show and doesn't believe that happens in real life. No, fuck that. These dudes get fucking hammered.
So, oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, this is shit they deal with as they get older.
Those two monsters going at it was a damn fine scene. Action scene. He's like, what's up, brother? Like, it was sort of like
linemen beating the shit out of each other. Fuck.
At first, I was like, is that Jason Momoa? Did he just get fatter? Like,
And I think what was important, too, with running into that character is he brings up, how's your wife? And that's when you get the first indication that there's some back history. Because up till now, you're just, Jeppard's just this big motherfucker who protects himself.
Dead. Like, you know they're dead at that point, but you don't know.
Right, but
tragedy.
At this point, you just know, like, he's a loner. And you're like, there's some
point,
shit
it's just
that
following
we don't know
the Lion and Cub, like, samurai film kind of vibe.
Yeah,
Lone Wolf and Cub. Mm-hmm. That's what,
Well, I will say, they must have been extremely close because he did die for him. Essentially, though, or at least you didn't see it, but you kind of get the sense that he fought a fucking good fight against bunch of guys in a very tight space, and eventually he lost. Dude, and that's
what makes a good offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He was beating some
ass.
But
he had your quarterback.
you could be a big bad motherfucker, but literally the scene in, I think, episode 2, where he just grabs the bear trap and just goes outside.
Yeah,
that was so good.
I'm going to take care of this. So it's not just that he's a big motherfucker, but he will fuck everybody.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was so good.
He did
good.
It like a ninja. So like a really just heavy footed ninja. It was very strange.
Ghost dog.
Yeah, ghost dog. Yeah. Ghost dog. Without the sword. Without the sword.
With a bear trap.
With a
bear trap.
And painkillers.
He just grabs it. He's like, I'll be back.
That's thematically appropriate.
I know what that is.
And he was essentially high most of the time that he could be.
Yeah, right.
Like early on. Like he was.
You're that big and you former football player. Yeah, you got some injuries there.
Oh,
yeah.
Pain,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're feeling
chronic fucking pain.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm sure that's why he was doing it. But
and that's where we find out.
Become addicted.
We find out how much he's going to tolerate Gus when literally Gus eats all his fucking food and his fucking painkillers. And he's like, anybody else? He would murder right there on the spot.
Right there.
And the kid, Gus is like, yeah, your pills taste funny. I don't like them. Like, the things that make you feel not
funny.
Yeah. The things that help you out from, not wanting to kill yourself with the pain. I didn't like them. They weren't tasty.
It tastes good.
I think
you can have this one saliva-covered one that's like,
oh, God. When he's
body.
Like, wait, I got one left. I'm like really?
They look dangerously close to a dried booger. It's pretty nasty. Didn't he eat, the whole bottle? And then I think he threw it up. I think he said he threw it up.
Yeah. Which we didn't get to see Gus high as shit on, whatever, those were,
Maybe they were just old pills, so they had a delayed kick in, and that's what happened in the Field of Flowers.
There you go. or in the bus where he has that crazy.
Oh,
fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just this delay on it.
Just a delay on it. But speaking of delay, we're going to delay talking about this episode for just a couple minutes so you can hear about some of the other shows on the network. When we come back, we're going to be talking about our sponsors, do a drunken scene or two, and maybe talk about what we're drinking. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-winged animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Sweet Tooth on Netflix. Before we get into more conversations about animal kids,
that could be weird.
And yeah, the adults that like to hunt them for sport.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about our sponsors. First up, of course, is Amazon.com. If you are unfamiliar with Sweet Tooth, the best way to get caught up with the comics is to buy them through our link at GUIpodcast.com in the upper right hand corner of the homepage or on our links page. Click that link and pick up some copies of Sweet Tooth or any other comics if you did not like Jupiter Rising that you notice.
The fact that you said Jupiter Rising, not Jupiter Legacy, yeah. Tells me how much of an impression that made on you.
Big impression. But I hear the comics are good, so maybe that's a better venue.
If you've read Sweet Tooth, Jeff Lemire has a ton of other books, the writer, creator. Go on Amazon, pick them up.
Perfect. So that way you can catch up on what might be happening in season two and beyond. As well as supporting your GUI podcast as well.
You can read Essex County, which is literally another one of his books that we see heavily in Sweet Tooth. Like, literally, he has a book called Essex County, which is the basis of everything in that movie.
Oh, that's
that
awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Would you compare the way they've done the show so far to the way, in comparison to the comic, similar to that of The Walking Dead? In terms of difference or how they change the timeline? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, enough for to fit within that? Because I know The Walking Dead took a lot of liberties.
But a lot of the same themes and,
more as it went along, though.
From the start, they had...
Season one, it was...
Daryl.
It was pretty close.
Daryl wasn't even in the comics.
Minus characters. The Dixon boys.
You
added the Dixon boys, but as far as for a six-episode first season, they didn't really stray, but so far.
Yeah.
And then they kind of...
Well, I guess that begs, were there any characters in the show that were not in the comic?
Mm-hmm.
That you know of? Okay.
Yeah.
You can give us a breakdown later. Or no.
And that is a perfect thing for you to figure out by looking at the comics that you purchased through our link at Amazon.com.
That is the second time you said that. Anyway.
He's just trying to segue back
trying
in.
Trying to segue back in, man.
Kyle's like, let's talk some more.
Let's talk about Walking Dead. Okay, next up.
Speaking of Walking Dead, you can purchase the comics and the...
There you go. Yeah, that would have been a better segue. That would have been a better segue.
Next up, of course, is TeePublic, a place for you to get all the merchandise from all the shows on the Geeks on the Influence Network. You go to our link right on the homepage, GUIpodcast.com. It'll send you right over to TeePublic, where we've got close to 40 designs now on the page from all the different shows. Just fun designs that have been made by me or other show creators. We've got some stuff from Beautiful Disasters. I think, Hunter, you got some designs.
Yeah, we got a couple that should be coming out like pretty soon. Yeah.
Yeah, we're always coming up with new designs that are dropping on the site. I've got a couple that I'm working on right now that I'm hoping to drop, including a new GUI Media Network logo that I've been playing with for a couple weeks now that's turning out pretty solid. So keep an eye on that. There's sales all the time. So if it's not on sale when you look at it, wait a few days and it probably will be.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to support the shows. And the network is by buying the merch, showing off the merch, buying it for your friends, buying it for people's birthdays. Hey, they have baby onesies. If your friend or sister or brother has a kid, make them wear a shirt that says, hey, we're fucking drinking on it.
Yeah, just don't try to put them to sleep at night with an episode.
I don't think that's the way to go.
Or do, and our voices are just that soothing.
They're so comforting.
The dulcet tones of GUI podcast.
That includes Scotty P or...
Yes.
It's like the Saturday Night Live skit.
Come on, guys.
Go to sleep to the Geek Father.
The Geek Father.
We love you, Scotty.
Yeah, that's our. Yep, that's it. That's our sponsors.
That's our sponsors.
That's the whole thing. Yeah.
That's it.
Sweet. Next up is what really drives this podcast. What really started it in the first place is a bunch of friends sitting around drinking too much and talking about nerdy shit. We've put it into a segment called What We're Drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking.
Hey,
we're getting drunk.
Hey!
It's my favorite when we do the episodes that Kyle sits there. I just like to stare at him as he's hearing himself singing.
Himself singing, yeah. In there, yeah.
It's quite awful. I think that's what my hell would be made of.
I was just
hearing myself sing.
I just was thrown off the episode where we try to get you to sing it again. And you're like, I don't know if I remember the lyrics. It's not a lot going on there, man.
No, I did it last time. I did it.
I don't know if I know all the lyrics. You know, the song.
We play the song literally every episode. Yeah.
But the difference was I was sober.
Oh, I had not drunken recall.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are doing what we're drinking. I got a share for everybody to enjoy here. I got cans from went to Hardywood recently and got one of my favorites that they do, besides their bourbon barrel that everybody loves, there's the Hardywood's Mama's Mean Cobbler. And we saw Papa on Sweet Tooth, but we got introduced to Mama at the end of the first season.
Yeah, the theme is kind of looking for Mama.
Mama.
The pronunciation, Mama.
Mama.
You know, Mama.
It's Mama's.
Mama's.
Dear Mama.
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 But Mama's Peach Cobbler. It's 8.2%, and it does not taste like it. It is a Belgian-style fruit ale with peaches and spices, and it tastes like a liquid peach cobbler.
I was very skeptical because I usually don't like flavored stuff, but it's delicious, and the alcohol content's quite high.
It is.
Which is nice.
For no sense of it being alcoholic. I mean, it just tastes like a liquid peach cobbler.
And Hardywood Mamaws. I will have to get that next time.
Got just the right amount of cinnamon. It's not overplayed. It's got just the right amount of sweetness. It's not too sweet. I wouldn't be able to drink a ton of these because it is still pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But man,
it's really good. This is my first time having it in cans. I've either had it on draft at the brewery or traditionally it was released in the standard fifth, bottle release.
Yeah.
I don't know if they started this year or if they actually started last year, but I'm not really tasting a difference in cans, which is good because sometimes that does affect the flavor. So, but no, I've always loved this. My thing is, and it's just my taste association with cinnamon, is it's a fall thing.
Oh, gotcha.
Totally a fall thing. Like cinnamon and baked goods in a booze equates to not summer.
No, I fully get that, and this would definitely be something that is very appropriate for the fall.
It would be.
But I think it's so popular that they're just like lengthening the amount of time that they have it available.
Mm-hmm.
And and maybe with the pandemic, who knows if
it's
they
have... probably the pandemic, because I know they had the peach cuvée, which is a Belgian white with peach added.
Sure.
That's more of a spring summer.
Mm-hmm.
Cobbler base beer is definitely a cooler weather beer. Love it all the same. Not bitching. Just saying, like, when I drink it, it's kind of like I got to, like, check my brain.
Your body's like, too soon.
Yeah, like, too soon.
I like the cinnamon. I love cinnamon. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is. I put it on my eggs. I put it on toast. I put it on literally everything.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I had the same reaction.
Yeah. I make scrambled eggs or sometimes even my fried eggs, but when I make them, I put cinnamon on it, well, including salt and pepper, but I don't overdo it on one or the other. I try to, be pretty even with it, but I do it, but I mix it in with some milk and,
you keep talking, you're getting puzzle faces from all of us with that cinnamon.
I'm just, it tastes really good. I make it for the girls at home and they love it. So I also use a lot of it in my, of course, French toast.
He's talking about like eggs, toast, milk,
that would make sense.
Eggs, milk, and cinnamon. I'm like, so you're making eggnog eggs? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I guess essentially, but without the alcohol.
Yeah.
Well, cinnamon eggnog by itself doesn't have alcohol.
Yeah.
That's
just try. Let's if you try it once and you don't like it, you don't like it.
Eggnog is basically like eggs, milk, and like allspice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like this is one of those moments where you say something normally and you think it's just a thing that people do and it's normal and everybody is like, yeah, no, totally. And you say it, and the more you talk about it, the more you realize that everybody's like,
what the fuck? I know, as we all look at each other, we're like, cool.
Eggs, okay.
Yeah. Hey. Oh yeah,
I do.
Oh,
I agree with the salt and pepper and some cheese.
No,
like, I stopped putting mustard on my ice cream, but the ketchup still really just makes it kick. You know?
Yeah.
And,
well, I don't. That's pretty extreme when we're talking about cinnamon.
Talking about
eggs.
Cinnamon and eggs.
Yeah.
To him, it's normal. Yeah.
It's normal. I love cinnamon that much.
Like, I like ketchup on my eggs, but I know that's fucking weird. All right,
that's still less weird than cinnamon.
I put that and sugar in my pasta sauce too when I make sauce from scratch.
My mom did that shit.
See, that
my wife
makes
does that.
A little more
gross.
Sense to me, I guess.
I've tried it. It's disgusting.
I use cinnamon on a lot of things.
Okay,
especially my coffee every morning. Anyways,
that makes sense. Yeah. Cinnamon in coffee makes sense.
I can taste it in here, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
And
what's there? Yeah,
it's unexpected.
So
and
Smash
go out and get
really
it.
Really likes it because. That cinnamon, all right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah. I didn't realize until
hey,
he went to the egg
this
story.
Into your egg batter and tell me how that comes out.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
But
actually,
yeah,
that's not a
I figured a sweet
a peach
beverage for an episode on Sweet Tooth made the most sense. So,
yeah,
here
we
you,
go.
Sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
We got any other tasty beverages that people were sipping on this evening?
Oh, I bounced between a previous share that we had, the Final Gravity's Maybach, and a new, I know I haven't brought this as a share, but it was for me to drink the Final Gravity's Lakeside Lager.
Nice.
It's a good light lager. Obviously not as heavy as a Maybach because that definitely gets sweeter. And
yeah.
So but you can tell that this is the base for that. Like the Lakeside Lager is the base for the Maybach.
Gotcha.
If you, people can't see this, but it looks like deuces of like Steel Reserve. If you can't see the label.
I got the crowlers.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, ugh, who would do that to themselves?
Is that better?
Yeah.
There you go. Yep. Yeah.
Steven's become too bougie for Steel Reserve.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Dude, I've been too bougie for Steel Reserve for the last, like, 18 years of my life. Fuck it.
Yeah. I stopped being that maybe around, like, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally, like, I feel like I moved to Richmond and I was, like, 19 and a half. And I was like, I'm not doing Steel Reserve anymore.
Yeah, fair.
It's about the time I stopped drinking Beast.
Now, Hunter, what are you sipping
Beast.
On? You're doing something.
Yeah. This is the first time I'm trying the Ace Pineapple Craft Cider. And it's, goddamn tasty as shit. Like,
nice.
And this guy left my house. I had a birthday party for my daughter. Somebody brought over this, and I brought it here, and it's fucking good. I'm going to pick up another six pack.
I recommend checking out their, they have like a couple berry, different berry ones, too.
Yeah.
Flavors, yeah.
See, I'm not a huge pineapple person, so the fact that I'm really enjoying this.
It's not super sweet, so.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And it says no sugar added, so, I mean, it's right at that point because some ciders
are just too sweet.
Just too fucking sweet.
Yeah.
And
now
this
that
one hits
now that
right
you know
spot.
The label, you actually see it like Kroger. It is like available.
Because, I mean, my main go-to is Bold Rock, so it's nice to find another cider.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another one that I was sipping on earlier in the episode is from Kansas City, Missouri, Boulevard Brewing Company's Tiki Slam Tart Island Ale.
See, I feel like that should be a Richmond beer.
It sounds like a Richmond beer.
It sounds like a Richmond beer.
Yeah. This is an ale with guava, pineapple, orange, and other natural flavors. I will tell you, this tastes like fucking juice. It tastes like pineapple juice, basically.
So it's still a little sweet?
It's a little sweeter than I would normally go. It doesn't taste unnaturally sweet, though. It's just that pineapple sweetness that you really get.
Well, yeah, pineapple's very sweet.
So I would use this for if you need a splash of pineapple in something. You could use this, and I don't think it would make any like difference.
Very, randomly, how we coordinated on pineapple stuff
apparently.
For some reason.
Very tropical.
Trying to make the nut taste better.
Yeah exactly. Is. This is a 4.2%, so aside from the sugar, it's sessionable. But
if you're diabetic, don't.
Yeah, you're going to have a terrible hangover off of the buzz.
My toes
got,
are tingly
but,
now. Yeah.
That's
you'll wake up the next morning.
Yeah, no.
You go to the doctor.
Yeah. It's good. It makes me tingle.
Went on vacation, lost a foot, and my sight.
Does have a nice little tartness to it, though. It's a light tartness. I could, honestly, because of the sweetness of the pineapple, I could stand to have it even a little bit more tart, and I would be happy with it, but it's not bad. It's just, it's sweeter than I normally go.
Fair.
Yeah. So fair. And I think that's what we're drinking.
Yep.
Now on to the next part of our show, where we make jackasses out of ourselves. In a little segment called Making a Drunken Scene.
Making a Drunken Scene.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh, darling, you look absolutely gorgeous.
Look marvelous.
Bring the carrots.
Really marvelous.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Okay.
You all just sound like really shitty white people.
Yeah.
That's because most of us are really shitty white people, so.
Three quarters, yes.
Yeah, three quarters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See,
technically,
I was about to say there's a weirder fraction in there. Yeah, yeah.
What's that like 14 16ths?
see, Lowdown, you being here, you make it keep it real, man.
But
all right?
We try, so, yeah, but we try to be better.
What?
Fucking cunt punch you, dude.
All right, so we've got two different.
We're not even on GUI nights yet.
No, we're on two different scenes from Sweet Tooth. First one was
Do Jep. I mean, might as well.
Okay,
I'm gonna get typecast anyway. With you, motherfuckers.
Who claimed Abbott? Was that?
That was me. If possible. Okay,
I guess I'll do Bear.
Okay, and I'll do Dr. Bell.
Oh, it's me and you. Yeah.
All right, so let's start with the General Abbott and Dr. Bell scene. Whenever you're ready, Lowdown. Hunter. Yeah, whatever. It's one of you.
There really are two types of people in the world. There are people who simply let this dreadful, ugly, monstrous virus kill them and their loved ones, husbands, wives, moms, dads, children, just like your two little girls. There you got soldiers. People who are willing to do whatever it takes to beat this disgusting disease, take back control, reclaim humanity. I'm going to let you guess which kind of person I am.
You're a monster.
The real question, Gladdy, is who are you?
Who are you?
I can't sing anymore without
paying. This is like if the Muppets did a parody.
All right, next one is a short little bit with Bear and Jep, whenever you guys are ready.
Oh, I guess I'm going to ask you very sincerely, why do you think they did it?
That was solid. That's really good.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Why did they make a deer kid, baby? In a lab. To see if they could. Anyway, does it even change anything?
No, it don't.
Oh, but it does, doesn't it?
But it does.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Can I get one?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, sorry. I've literally been like, I literally downloaded all of Martin Luther King's speeches and sermons, and I've been listening to them. I have like very vibrato black man like in my head right now.
I totally thought you were going
to
like.
Have you ever listened to a Martin Luther King sermon or speech like through the whole thing? That motherfucker gets rageful at times. He's like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, holy fuck.
You're just waiting for the Sam Jackson line from Pulp Fiction to sneak in there. And it's like, great vengeance and furious
that
anger.
That was totally his inspiration for that speech.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The way you did it, though, was more like Coming to America. Like, I expected you to pull out a rag and, like, wipe your forehead off. Yeah.
Six of chocolate. No, I had what's his face in Walking Dead?
Which one? Morgan? Uh-oh.
All I gotta do is clear.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. All I gotta do
I
is
can
clear.
Feel it. Oh yeah. He's coming back. That dude always sounds like he just got done with the race. Like, oh, I'm coming for you.
Then he moved to Fear of the Walking Dead, the other one. It was like the same thing, but in that show. Like, okay.
I'm back.
Okay.
But back to Sweet Tooth.
We digress.
I can say, especially with just how vast and well explained this world is in the first season, I can totally see a spinoff happening from this as well. And you were saying like Essex is that a spinoff series?
No, it's a totally separate book. Jeff Lemire, the creator, he's done like a lot of kind of non-superhero books, and that's just kind of his world. But he's done a lot of some DC stuff too. He did a reboot of Animal Man and stuff like that. But Essex County is kind of like more of like in the real world kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this show is very like anti-hero sort of driven, like people who had kind of given up on society.
Actually, if there's another series that will probably be, if that would get from his stuff to get made, he does this book called Ascender. That's Image that. Is all sci-fi related stuff like that.
The Image got a lot of good properties.
And so that would probably be the next thing to go.
Does, okay. Image, that's Invincible as well, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Walking
Image,
Dead,
Walking Invincible, Dead, Invincible.
What I do want to start off the second half really getting into is, and then I'm going to be leaning on Hunter a little bit for this, is that with what's happened in the first season in the series, was there any kind of major changes to the storyline of the comic?
What's weird is that they got from point A to point B, the same as in the comic, but just different ways. That's the thing, is that by the end of kind of the main first story arc in the comic, they're at the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
But they go about it a whole different way in the comic. But so when the last episode and everybody is gathering there, I was like, okay, so we still got there. Just pretty much in the comic, it's Jeopard taking Sweet Tooth there directly instead of them ending up there. So, and from the start, the Sanctuary is controlled by Abbott and the Last Men. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so the Sanctuary being, what's her face? The therapist.
Yeah. And she's, that's a new character.
There, okay.
There's
so that's one of the ones you were talking about where they do add characters. But yeah. I think for the sense of the show, like the way it was written in, I couldn't tell that that was something that wasn't.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and
it made sense the way they, because they actually gave you that small intro to her leading into the zoo.
The biggest character that they definitely gave much more character development in from the comic to the show is Sing. Because in the comic, his wife's not there. So by the time you get introduced to him, he has been doing this shit for a while. He's broken. He's been experimenting on hybrids for years.
He originally started, not the other doctor.
He's kind of like where he's held captive. Like Abbott has him, but he has no alternative right now. It's just he's broken. Like here in the show, he has a motivation because of his wife, but there it's just, what else am I going to do?
But yeah, my question is he the one that came across harvesting hybrids from the beginning, or was that still handed down to him?
He's just trying to figure out a cure. So
because in the show, it's handed down to him from another scientist.
Oh, that wasn't necessary in the books, I guess, because he didn't have a wife.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that wasn't even a necessity.
Wasn't somebody else giving him a vaccine?
Yeah.
Like he's working with Abbott, but he's still kind of held captive. Like Abbott's like, find a cure or else.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So it sounds like they added a lot of like nice little nuances to make it.
Oh. What they did with his character is really awesome because, again, he's not, I wouldn't say a throwaway, but by the time you get introduced to him, he's just ragged looking and just like burnt the fuck out.
So, this is like his origin story, essentially showing you how he became broken because maybe his wife does die.
Yeah.
He doesn't come up with the cure in time, and that breaks him to a point where he then dives deeper into this world to get away from the pain, becomes a villain, you know? He didn't
long enough to be dying right, here he or didn't, become the villain. Yeah.
Right. He didn't die on early. You know, he lived for a while.
I'll say Abbott in the book is more of kind of a small like gang than like this giant controlling army that's like the government as it is in the show. So that's a big difference too, is that it's Abbott and like 30 dudes as opposed to like, we're at this headquarters, then we're going to this base and everybody's working with them.
In the show, like the general is the fucking government.
Yeah.
He is the full power of the government.
Yeah.
The actor, yeah, I guess he is. He's the one and only. Like, he's the prime man. But
he's the man on the fucking ground.
He's the man
on the ground.
But, it's funny because this, I don't know if the actor plays him really well, but I guess in his short form and the hair, if you really think about did you ever see Sonic with Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik?
I haven't watched that yet, no.
I swear
to
God.
It's actually really fun.
It's a fun movie, especially if you got kids or we just have a good imagination. They
or
do
you
it
like
pretty
Sonic,
well.
You grow up playing fucking Genesis.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I wish that we were like on video right now so we could show a picture of how it actually looks.
Oh, God.
Like it's the more exaggerated version of
it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
But he plays himself. I mean, the actor plays it menacingly. So, like, he's an evil fuck. When he wants control, he wants to control who lives or dies.
I was pretty pleased with it, though. I was waiting for it to be overacted, like, where he sounds like, the main villain. But it's more of just, like, I'm smarter than everybody else. That's why I lead you. And you lie to me, you fucking die. Happens with the doctor,
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Exactly. You talk about the doctor because she literally tells him what he wants. And then he walks out. She was just trying to heat up her can of beans, bro.
Yeah.
She's trying to get a grub on, protein, a little carb action.
Yeah, but she lied to him.
And then, I don't give a fuck. He still got what he fucking wanted. See, there's that balance of, like, whether you're a complete fucking sociopath or you still understand that, like, it's apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
People slip up, but at the end of the result, he still got what he wanted after breaking into her house. And then he sent somebody in after he gave her enough time to feel calm. To fucking kill her. Mm-hmm. That was what was fucked up. He gave her enough time to like think, okay, cool.
Oh, it's almost like he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Almost.
But
that beard,
they just show it.
To him, she's a loose end.
Yeah.
She
could tell Sin before they get there.
Because he's a fucking piece of shit.
And guess what? He'll gain more followers finding out what he did to her because of the world they live in. Like people, that's more people that won't cross him.
Woo, she
like,
lied.
What did she? What did she
America.
Do? Oh, she lied to him, so he fucking murdered her. Yeah. Okay, well, guess I'm not gonna fucking cross this guy now.
Yeah, fair.
Like I do recognize the entire kind of conversation that's happening with Sweet Tooth is about Mother Nature versus man, and a man trying to assert its dominance over Mother Nature, and that's the conversation that's happening with the hybrid kids and the Last Men, but. When the Last Men start marking like the fences and stuff, like hunters do when they're hunting to know that they've circled back to the area that they came to with the little ribbons that they put along the fence. That's what fucking hunters do, and I'm like, God damn it! Like you might as well be like, Hunter Man has come to kill the hybrid kids. You know, it's a little bit too
that
much.
That is totally what hunter. I'm glad someone else picked up.
Yeah,
that's what hunters
that's,
do.
So it's definitely like. Well, if we're going to have hybrid kids, then our armies is going to be a bunch of flannel-wearing hunters. You know, it's just...
But that's how they're treated, though, is that they are hunting these hybrids.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, they give it a very serious Planet of the Apes-style, once-over in terms of how they craft that story and make it look... I mean, it's you know, virus comes along, and then
get your hands off me, you damn dirty deer hybrid boy.
Yeah, you get super smart hybrid apes, and then they blame the apes for the virus and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
Like chicken before the egg or the egg before the chicken.
You're right. It is definitely an evolution of the Planet of the Apes story, right? Where that kind of started from. You're right. It is.
Yeah.
So we shoot to, like, years later, and there's just, like, deer boys and, like, elephant girls just, like,
and
running around.
Complete
and
badgers that can... groundhogs that can talk.
Now that he
fuck with,
imagine
like,
you get, because we're talking mammals, imagine you give birth to like sea mammals. You got like
they just float out of your afterbirth.
So you give birth to a blue whale baby.
The mom be dead.
Would be split in fucking half.
Oh, God damn.
That shit ain't happening.
Think of the...
coming out.
That blowhole blew that hole.
Yeah, right.
Look, think of the hybrids, because even if the individual species that their DNA is spliced with can't mate, the human side can. So you think of all the crazy fucking just mixes that you could throw in there.
Dude, some the bestiality dudes are just like watching
My Day has come
watching Sweet Tooth and just like violent masturbation.
So, and also
violent.
The weird fucking bestiality pedophile dudes are having a ball.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They're so into it.
God.
This went really dark.
Lemire is getting some weird letters.
Yeah.
No, there's but that weird, it go as dark as the comic.
That's that weird leftover room when Dr. Singh's done with the you know, yeah.
But they're like a
we
snake.
We call it the jizz factory.
No, the petting zoo, actually.
That's title. No, that's it.
Dr. Singh's petting zoo.
That's it.
That doesn't...
Yes.
That sounds like the kind of place that makes me sad.
Oh, no.
But brings happiness to a certain type of person.
Yes,
also.
To certain types of people.
That also makes me sad. And I want to drink. I'm going to have a drink.
Yeah,
I'm
have a drink.
Yeah, that's
why I brought the 8.2% beer.
I'm glad we're covering this good, wholesome show, Sweet Tooth, and diving into the levels they never thought we would.
Well, like, I'm going to stay there for later.
I've never
crossed my mind.
I've never had on my bucket list as one-upping Jizz Factory with Petting Zoo before, but now I have. Dr. Singh's Petting Zoo.
Dr. Singh's Petting Zoo.
I want him to go crazy on the show. Can we, like, half eagle, half elephant, you know, with the face of a human.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
That's in, like, volume 4 of Sweet Tooth. Is this
that's
like,
going to be
hybrid.
Sounds like someone's making a request.
How do you make that work?
Well, like I said, no matter... What hybrid you have, part of them is still human, which is the part that can probably reproduce with the other species probably can't, but that part of them that's human
hamster
can.
With a human dick
genetically
that's dragging behind him.
Genetically that should be able
kill
to work
me.
Like like a Kryptonian and a human. Mm-hmm. You know,
God damn it, I knew he was gonna bring out to Superman at some point.
I had no, to
but there is biology.
I mean, who doesn't want to see like a tiger and a monkey mixed with the human face?
Me, I don't want to see that.
I really don't want to see that.
But if you make it peaceful and like they're in a big area like Yellowstone and it looks nice.
No, that's like those
cool
horse
shit.
People from Sorry to Bother You. Like they're just like kill
me. Then you could bring Jeff Goldblum in. You could bring Jeff Goldblum in to like
he literally is like put the gun to my head and then you're good.
Jeff Goldblum's going to come in and be like, you know, life found a way.
If they could,
I'm thinking Jeff Goldblum with a fly, where he literally puts the gun to his shotgun to his head and they fucking blow his brains out.
Have well, Goldblum as an insect expert in Sweet Tooth, and I'm done. I'm done
oh,
for.
Yes.
Like,
you need to get him. You need to get him in there.
Get him
Jeff
in there.
Goldblum needs to join Sweet Tooth
well,
season
it,
two.
It seems that that there's a hybrid fly people.
Oh, actually, it's funny. Or I was going to bring up the narration in each of the episodes, and then it made me think as we bring up, has Jeff Goldblum done narration for anything?
Only his own show.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why has that get... not, yeah, why have we not had more of that?
Fun little thing of note, bringing it back to Madness Related, another show on the network. You know who narrates this? Fucking the actor who played the original George Lutz, Amityville Horror, who is also Josh Brolin's father.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right.
It took me like two episodes. Like, who the fuck
is that voice?
Yeah. And Sweet Tooth. It almost started to lean kind of Sam Elliott and then just gets back.
It's like they couldn't get Sam Elliott, so they got
old.
This
yeah.
guy.
That's
instead.
Where that came from.
But it's like that hint where he's like, you know how we treat, and then like hits that point and then backs out
away,
before it gets
yeah.
that real Sam Elliott.
Every time, some of them were a little too much for me. Like he'd be like, you know, and every there's a beginning to every story.
Oh, they said
and
that
this
too many
is
times.
Theirs, and I kept thinking right after that I was gonna hear ding 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 ding, like
yeah,
every
shit.
Time, and it made me laugh, and I was like, I don't know why, but they really should have done that. I don't. I think it would have been funny.
I was waiting for just like a little kid voice to be like, Grandpa forgot where he was in the story
yeah.
again, because he kept repeating
this
every
story doesn't have start, a start at the beginning.
Every story has a beginning, and I'm going to tell the beginning
this
again.
This aisle never ends.
I forgot how it ends, and yeah.
But I think that actually kind of helps with what they're trying to do with having this almost as like a story, a story in the apocalypse, you know?
Yeah.
But that narration kind of says like, it's not going to be all shit. It's, you know, there's some happy moments.
I felt like he was going to tell me to go buy some coffee, or, you know, he was going to sell me something.
Yeah, you drive four.
Yeah, yeah.
James Brolin.
Yep. James Brolin.
James Brolin. Josh
Brolin. Father of Josh Brolin.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, father of Josh Brolin.
Well, their voices are fairly similar.
Papa Thanos.
Papa Thanos.
Yep.
Yeah, Granos.
That's it. Oh, yeah, that's it.
Granos.
If you go, listeners, if you just Google the image of James Brolin, side by side with Josh Brolin, you're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Dude, it's...
Maybe next season they'll actually get Josh Brolin to narrate, which would be much better.
I'm fine with James Brolin, though.
Yeah,
I thought he did a good job.
I think he needs to do this from now on. Like, he needs to narrate.
What I want
like,
them
do,
to
be...
I want them to have both talk over and have dialogue right before a big scene happens.
I want Sam Elliott to start doing the narration on season two, and then... James Brolin come in and they're fighting over the narration of
or
the,
they switch off like, they switch off and you have to guess story.
You have to guess what actually yeah. happened they yeah. keep redoing the scenes and the ways that
it's like,
no,
this is really what happened.
This is really what happened.
Yeah. Or throws for a loop, and then all of a sudden, again, Jeff Goldblum comes in for one of the episodes. You're like, wait a second, what the fuck is going
both
on here?
You fuckers
that's
are
the
wrong.
Jump the shark moment, right?
Seriously,
yeah. yeah, yeah.
And there's a deer boy, and he likes candy, and
that's like Sweet Tooth season, you know, season 13 or 14, where they've just run out of everything. That's when they finally do the crossovers. That's when you're going to see Lucifer.
No, I'm going to call it. This show doesn't need to go longer than like four or five seasons.
And it shouldn't. And if it's good, if it's
done, if it's written well,
yeah,
two or three.
It out, there you go.
Two
yeah.
or three is fine. You can
no,
do a
I
time
mean,
jump.
I know how long the comic is.
The comic's
I've seen,
only
I've
60
seen,
issues.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And they've gotten past what issue wise?
Probably they were up to like 22, 24 with the season. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they could
really?
Do three seasons and
easily.
Pretty, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah.
Or break it up and
but
do
they also,
any of the things they've added. In this season, do you think that it could push it to four or five?
Oh, definitely. Because, I mean, again,
comfortably, not being shitty.
Again,
like,
sing,
I'm talking
sing,
about good seasons.
Yeah.
Sing you don't really get introduced to.
Not
till,
like Gus keeps trying to escape wait. The zoo, and they're like, get back in the zoo car. I mean, Gus.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what would be, and I'll have my predictions. No. What are your predictions for next season in terms of the direction they've gone with the show?
I think they're going to delve more into...
Excuse me, I'm the host. So what do you see happening in the...
I think definitely
I'm
we're
so
gonna,
curious.
You're going to find
I'm
out
sorry.
More about Leopard and his... Shepard and his working with that and why he did that and his flashback. Because you only get a real quick thing at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So you're going to go into that and then kind of probably much getting the fuck out of the sanctuary. It's going to be... It's going to be... I think the first couple episodes will definitely be an escape... type scenario.
I think Bear's sister is gonna meet a nice frog boy.
God damn it.
and they're going to fall in love. And she's going to be very precocious about it. She's going to be very needy. And he's just, Frog Boy is not going to be super into it for most of the time. But they're going to work it out in the long run.
I mean, one character that
Sweet Tooth is just
up,
their nosy neighbor.
One character yeah, right? that shows up in the last couple episodes, and you just aren't really paying attention to him, but the dude with the mullet that literally, you know, seems a little off. That,
oh, yeah.
That's Abbott's brother. So he's kind of, I think, the next season, he'll be a lot more essential than just kind of
I think
in the
so
background.
Too. Yeah,
like
I agree.
A good guy.
Or no, like the mixed allegiances
yeah.
kind of thing for season two, definitely.
Constantly fighting the better angel
yeah, I think
or the worst angel.
I think he kind of likes the hybrids, and he's like, kind of like, this is cool, and doesn't really want him dead.
There's one scenario that they really did not touch on, which is, you know, we've seen all the cute hybrids and stuff like that, but again, you've got wolf hybrids, stuff like that, and there's a character in the comic that pretty much has a pack of wolf hybrid kids that is pretty much how he controls his gang.
Oh, shit.
If you fuck up, kid, boys, go get them.
Ooh, that's badass, and they should dress them like newsies.
The thing is, yes. 100%. For the most part, the show just touched on, you know, the nice kids. No, not every hybrid's going to be nice.
No.
You have like a kangaroo kid that literally like the pouch, you know, because kangaroo pouches, it's not like a pouch. You can see their organs inside the pouch. Well, there's just a kid whose organs are exposed. Like, yeah.
Well, apparently kangaroos are dickheads too. They'll fight anybody.
Well, you just have him as the bro hybrid where he's just like, sup, bro? You want to fight, bro?
He's going to pull a
Check
bunch
my
of,
shit out.
He's going to pull a couple of brewskis out of his pouch there.
That's where you get your 211 at. Or Old E. Keeps straight out of Compton, some Old E. Old E.
I think.
It's like little kid, like Joey Kangaroo, and is like, bro, you don't call me Joey. I'm Joseph.
Dude, yeah. I'm serious, though. You need
I'm Joe Dog.
Party.
Like, a 40
bring,
party?
Should bring it back. It's a 40 party.
Dude, it's summertime.
But like, nothing but like Mickey's and Odie.
Odie?
And
no, fucking... I used to have slip and slide parties back in the day. We need to have a slip and slide party with 40s.
I'm just cool with the 40s, but okay.
Or a kiddie pool to put our feet
what
in.
What are you going
to
tape the 40s?
No. I do see the slip and slide being funny because enough 40s and that.
Wait, do you,
don't
slip
ever get
slide
the slip
and
the there?
I was going to say, tape them to your hands and then you have to.
Edward 40 hands slip and slide.
Yeah. No, he's with it. He got it.
I think we have a GUI party to plan. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
My backyard is sloped, so that would be
perfect.
Good.
Oh, that's absolutely perfect.
Get some tarps and some rocks and we're good to go.
Oh, God.
I think, Sate, I think next year. Because they revealed the mom's still alive in that Alaska facility.
She's
potentially
the one that drew the core.
Right. Yeah. So she knows knows more than anyone, especially Dr. Singh, about the virus, how it's structured.
That when that phone call happened, I looked at her, I was like, that's the fucking,
so
that's
she'll,
the fucking mom.
She'll be the catalyst for her, and Sweet Tooth are obviously going to be the keys to the cure, but they won't get to that for a while because they still have to meet up. She's in fucking Alaska.
Let's just say the whole thing with the mom, that's uncharted territory with the comic because... They just kill her off beginning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much the mom's there, and then the dad dies, and Sweet Tooth pretty much buries the dad next to the mom.
So
he never actually met her. She was dead, but the dad tells her.
That's really cool. They kept that because I feel like there's a lot there that's going to make this show moving forward awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I figure there's so much.
Well, that was his motivation because in the comic, his motivation is to get to the sanctuary where he thinks that's going to be safe. Where in the show, it's to get to his mom.
In the show, the dad hides the pamphlet about the sanctuary, so now it's to get to his mom. So that's fucking awesome.
So the comic is more about crushing your hope, where hopefully this show is more about building your
building
hope.
Oh, there's definitely moments.
We don't
the comic
need. I don't know if we need too much more crushing
right
hope.
Now. Yeah. We do not need crushing hope.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I can literally walk out my door and look around,
that is,
and then I've got that.
That is the lesser appreciated spinoff of Raising Hope.
I love that fucking show, by the
way. Where it's like the baby gets in the street when a steamroller is going down the street.
Oh, by the way, the dad in that, in Fear the Walking Dead.
Yep.
There's your kiss.
Yeah, he's also in a lot of other things.
You
want
to talk about the comic. Literally, you build up this relationship, like in the show, with Gus and Jeppard, right? But in the comic, Jeppard's friendly to him till he drops him off at Abbott's feet in the sanctuary, says, all right, here you go, and walks the fuck off.
Fuck.
And you're like... Y'all are fucking friends, man. You gave him candy bars.
Yeah,
so,
right?
Yeah.
Good.
So there's a lot more betrayal in the comic.
Speaking of what Smash It, can we get there's a Darren Gillahunt in fucking Sweet Tooth?
I think
as,
you
like,
should.
Because he was in the road as some pervy fucking road dude. Can we get him as some like Right? Can we get him as some like weird pervy dude in his Wii 2?
He makes sense in that world.
Dude, he fits right there. He fits in this world.
He was the cowboy. He was the cowboy in one movie. He was like the weird country dad in a TV show. And I'm pretty
he was two different characters in Deadwood.
Yeah. And he was
in one of whom hung himself.
Yep. He was a mercenary and Justified. He's connected.
He was a bad guy in Burn Notice. He's like, the dude has got a fucking stellar like acting chops.
Yeah.
We talked about him in some other movie, too. Yeah. Oh, Army of the Dead.
Yep.
He's Army of the Dead.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Clearly, we're getting on to the off-the-rails part of this the show, so it's time for us to cut this and then jump on tonight's, which you're going to hear next week. So thank you so much for listening to this episode all about Sweet Tooth. Obviously, we didn't hit on all the points that we could talk about because this is a very dense and well-shown world, post-apocalyptic world that is really thoughtful on, beautifully shot, a gorgeous show. I think it's a very, very beautifully done show.
The score, the soundtrack, good, and the acting. It's a lot of attention to everything.
A lot of 90s, not 90s, but 2000s, like, songs. I feel like there's a lot of, like...
Whatever, man. They threw in Temptations for me, man.
They did, but there was also, fucking some, badass. It's really, like, Young the Giant type of shit.
But it's a very epic show without trying to be, and that's what I like about it. Like, you get these smaller set pieces, but you get to see the background when they're walking. So, but it makes it seem more epic of a scale than you would generally think. Yep. You know what I mean?
It's very somatic.
It's also intimate, which that's what caught me by the show, how good it was.
And I don't hate the soundtrack
to the characters,
because I feel like in the episode where, like, so I think it's the first or the second, I can't remember, where he chases Big Man and he's like, "Hey, Big Man, take me with
you."
That
song works for that
scene.
And
he's yelling off of a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time the song's playing, I'm like, fuck me. Like, because it's just shit fucking music.
But it's the theme of that song. It works with the scene.
Show.
Yeah, because normally I wouldn't like that song, but it works for that scene.
Kill me now.
Exactly.
When they play Home by Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros as they're walking to Sanctuary. No, that didn't happen.
Listen,
I hate the Grateful Dead, so...
Why couldn't they play... No.
But that's what I'm saying, is they hit you over the head in that one episode.
You know what would have been better to go over that scene? Fucking Eagles Dare. Where Eagles Dare?
Yeah, listen, obviously.
He's like on top of a cliff.
Look, as far as music goes, they can go anywhere they want. They can be like, play Send Me an Angel or Take on Me.
That's just because he really likes the songs they chose. That's why he's saying that.
They, you know what? They spoke to my heart, not just my head. And that's why I like
Gus
him.
Wakes up and you hear sugar.
You sound like Sling
Blade. Honey,
right,
honey.
Now. That statement made you literally sounded like Sling Blade.
I like it.
My heart.
Speaking of Sling Blade, we're going to get off here to get some biscuits and mustard and watch some review videos of Sweet Tooth.
And some taters.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll find you next week for our GUI Nights episode recorded directly after this one. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to the Creepazoids for the music for the intro and outro, Dead by Dawn, available on their Bandcamp. There's links on our links page on GUIpodcast.com. And we'll find you next time. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.
Roar. Roar.
Roar.